Today, I'm rocking the suburbs.
Sounds like what it looks like driving in the middle of nowhere, Indiana.
Yeah. Yeah,
driving in the middle of nowhere, Ohio, driving over the bridge from Hammond, Indiana into Chicago and seeing the city with the moon hanging over it.
Hello, everyone. My name is Patrick Foster, and on behalf of Jim Lanahan, I want to welcome you to this episode of Rockin' the Suburbs. We are in the midst of an interview with filmmaker Tommy Nikoloff, who made a documentary about the early years of the late, great artist Jason Molina. And we are going to get into the second part of that conversation in just a minute. But I do want to remind everybody that the deadline for May 2026 new music submissions is Tuesday, June 16th. So try to get those picks in Tuesday, June 16th. If you can, create a voice file, attach it to an email, send it to rock@suburbspod.com with May 2026 new music in the title. That always helps a lot. Looking forward to it. There's quite a few interesting albums released in May. It's been quite a year for music so far. Okay, I want to thank once again Tommy Nikoloff for taking the time to be on the show, and also very much to Scott Parks, who set up this interview and got in touch with Tommy online and really found it to be a great conversation. In this part of the interview, you're going to hear Tommy talking a little bit about what it takes to get a film accepted at a film festival, which is very interesting, and also what his long-term vision is for the film, where he wants it to go eventually. He started work on this film back in 2021, so he's 5 years into this project, and it's still growing and still going. So great work by Tommy. We are going to turn it over now. I got the big tapes threaded up, and here we go with part two of the conversation with Tommy Nikoloff.
Yeah, from a very young age, you know, he said, "I'm going to be a rock star." But that didn't mean I'm going to be an Instagram influencer.
Right.
Right. Or I'm going to be famous, or I'm going to be rich.
And he was none of those.
because I think they were never the goal.
Right.
And so he achieved his goal, and you might be onto something, you know, that that could have been, and it probably was, all that was probably right within his grasp. And maybe he didn't want it.
Right.
I don't know.
Or maybe not. We don't know. And
there's
and
no way to know.
That's part of the fun of discovering Molina and digging into the works and reading what you can and learning about it. And that's where, again, a movie like yours, I think, is very important to get his story out to the people. So it isn't just 300,000 monthly listeners that know who he is, because it's probably the same 300,000 people. But that's 300,000 more than probably knew him when he was active, if we're being honest. There maybe weren't 300,000 people that have ever seen him perform live total.
Yeah, right.
In the whole time. Yeah. Like individuals.
I'd like to see that trajectory. Like,
exactly.
What was it 10 years ago or 15 years ago to today? That would be interesting to know.
Because his music to me is just that important, that it is important music that needs to be heard by everybody.
Yeah. And it's so often described as timeless. Like Max Winter, who was in the 1998 lineup of Songs Ohio, says, like, this could be from 1960. This could be from 1860. This could be from 2060. You know, you can't even categorize it. Back to Patrick's first question, how do you categorize it? Well, good luck if it spans two centuries of possibility, right?
Exactly.
So true.
So true. And, you know, Tommy, what I found interesting in reading about some of the screenings that have taken place for the film, there's often been musicians or people, wherever that screening might be, who wanted to get together to accompany the film to play Jason's songs. And, you know, that says a lot, I think, about the spirit of his music. But talk a little bit about how that's come together at some of the screenings and how meaningful that has been to help, you know, get the message out there, or what your film is saying anyway.
Well, it's been 3 weeks and one day since we did a screening with the Appalachian Film Festival at Foundry Theater in mm-hmm. Huntington, West Virginia. And we opened that evening with Tucker Riggleman, William Matheny, and three of the Spine Riders playing a tribute set to Jason.
Wow.
Brief intermission, showed the film, did a Q&A with Jason's sister Ashley and the three original Spine Riders along with Jason. Then we moved to an after party at the Loud in Huntington with three more bands, the Prenups out of Charleston, West Virginia. The Spine Riders played a punk set, and Womb Bear and Elkhound out of Louisville combined and played some Molina covers, some Silver Jews, and I think they snuck an original track or two in there. So, you know, it was a mere 9-hour celebration of the life and legacy of Jason Molina.
I mean, that really says something to me. Yeah, that's special. That's very special.
We've got to do it again. Working on a date in Morgantown, West Virginia right now to do that again. So that was just over 3 weeks ago. I finally kind of settled back into my own actual being maybe 4 days ago. It was so intense. It was one of the best nights of my life.
I mean, do you have any long-term sort of, I don't know, I just get a feeling around this project that it feels like something that's going to grow because of the things, just like you were just talking about, a 9-hour celebration. Do you have any long-term vision for the film to be, I don't know, you know, distributed by Netflix or, you know, anything along those lines? Or where do you see it kind of going in the next few months or the rest of this year?
World domination. So this is my first film, so I've been figuring it out how this works the entire time. And even though, you know, we started November of 2021, it's a constant learning process. So, just trying to even make people aware that it exists.
Right.
Which can be a challenge because sometimes it feels like so few people know that Jason exists.
Right.
But it's just kind of slowly developing and getting to have a screening in Athens, Ohio, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Huntington, West Virginia. Just got news. We'll be screening at Atlanta Underground in August, sometime between the 6th and the 9th. Don't have a date yet. Waiting to hear from all kinds of places throughout the Midwest, Appalachia, and the South. So, I think it's accessible. I think it's especially if you're from the Midwest or Appalachia. I think it's very accessible in a geographic sense,
mm-hmm.
Which I'm very proud to say that that's just letting Jason come through, right?
Right.
Well, saying that, I think that's why I think that's what made me stick with Molina's music is he is a Midwesterner. He is welcoming. It feels like home, like listening to his songs. It sounds like what it looks like driving in the middle of nowhere, Indiana, in the middle of nowhere, Ohio, driving over the bridge from Hammond, Indiana into Chicago and seeing the city with the moon hanging over it. It sounds like my life, basically, like what I've experienced. I think seeing the movie, just the clips, the people will seem familiar to you because people, if you're from the Midwest, people that are just like them that live in your town or that live down the street from you.
Yeah. And I think, I think that stretches up to Maine.
Yeah.
And I think it stretches south to
it does.
Alabama and Georgia.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a ton of interest west of the Mississippi, although there are a ton of fans out there.
Yeah.
And back to plans, so many people are reaching out that are saying, I'm connecting you to this theater in New Hampshire. Please screen the film there. Right. But we've got to get through this festival run first. I would love to do a theatrical run there. There's a lot of legal and financial and other issues to deal with first. But in terms of plans, I'd love to do a theatrical run and kind of recreate, eventize these things with local acts. I mean, this is not a dire look at the life and times of Jason Molina. It's a celebration of one of the most dynamic, hilarious, multifaceted people I've ever met in my life, if not the most. And then we'll see. I'd love to have this streaming, but in the environment today, I think the last thing I would want is this to be picked up by Netflix or Amazon or anything like that. It's rough. Artists are taken advantage of all the time. What it sounds like to me from other people's experiences, it's probably a lot like record companies in the 70s and 80s, and I want no part of it. And if the audience is already there, and there's 300,000 of them at least, this is who it's for. And if they bring another friend along that has a Midwestern or an Appalachian connection, great. If it gets bigger than that, great. But it's a big criticism off, or at least feedback that I get often is that, I don't know if anybody who's not already a fan of Jason Molina is going to be interested in this film.
Mm.
So what?
Yeah.
Not everything is for everybody.
No.
Right? It's like, what am I going to make a movie that's like a Pringle? Exactly the same size and shape as every other chip, and it fits in a cylindrical can? Come on.
We'll be right back. stood on the 66 highway.
Love that approach. That's fantastic. And just out of curiosity, maybe for those listening who are interested in film, how does that work, Tommy? Do you, if there's a film festival, is there a process where you submit the film and there's kind of like a jury or how does that work?
Well, it's really tricky because this has all been trial by error, right? And error. I found that it's helpful to. So first of all, there are like 13,000 film festivals in the United States alone.
Holy Christmas.
And you kind of have to determine if your film is a personality fit for that festival, which is a huge barrier, right?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
So I hear so many times, like, you're going to submit to Cannes? And I'm like, no.
Right.
I'm like, well, why not? It's the biggest. It's the most well known. I'm like, well, almost 3,000 films got submitted to Chicago Underground.
Wow,
that's a lot.
Yeah, that's right? A ton.
South that's by Southwest amazing. Was a big swing. I think they got 8,000 submissions. Rain Dance in London got 11,000. So if you're not looking at like. Is there an audience there? Is that festival going to be able to take people, put their butt in a seat in a theater and fill that theater? If that answer is no, I'm not going to submit to that festival because it's a waste of my $80.
Yeah. Right.
then once you submit, you kind of just hope that enough people talk about it and the right people hear about it, because you've got it like everything else. We are in a waterfall. We're in a deluge of information.
Yes.
Right.
That's right.
If you're a festival programmer and you're having to sort through 3,000 films, man, it's really tough to stand out.
Yeah.
But if people are talking about it, you never know who's going to overhear you. I mean, magic is happening all the time. So hope everybody wants to see them. Just to talk to anybody. Talk to people on the street. Tell them about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Go on some podcasts and start talking about it. I love
That's
it.
Right.
Here we are. That's where we're today.
An internet radio station.
There you go. Jason would approve very, very much.
Yeah, sure. Right on.
Do you feel like, Tommy, that this experience has led you to want to do filmmaking for the rest of your time here? Do you feel like that's your calling now?
I don't think I have a choice. Yeah. But, there's so
that's
much
great.
Like I've had a number of careers, right? But you know, even going back to third grade with Sister Mary Benjamin, that's, you know, we talked about the difference between career and vocation.
Right.
As 7-year olds. Right. And aside from, you know, a few highlights here and there, I'd say this feels like the first calling that I've answered. And that's all because of Jason, man. 100%.
That's amazing.
Well, I don't have a choice is a perfect Jason answer, too. That would have been his answer about exactly. What he did, right? Probably. I don't have a choice. It's just there.
But he, first of all, knew that.
Yeah.
Earlier. I mean, I can say this with a fact. Did. This isn't an interpretation. He knew that.
Yeah.
And he did not care what anybody else thought. Right. And that, like, if there's of all the compare and contrast in my life and Jason's, like, this is probably the biggest contrast. He just didn't care. I was trying to make everybody else happy. And at least halfway do what was expected of me. I don't know if that thought ever entered his mind. Certainly not when it came to making art, you know?
Yeah.
And then that's how you make something true, and that's how you make something unique. And I think that he had the understanding that that's the only way to get other people to like it.
All right. Great stuff there. Thanks very much, Tommy and Scott. Really enjoyed that conversation. I tell you, the conversation was so fun and it just kind of spooled out. Wasn't really keeping an eye too close on the clock. We were having a really fun time just talking. And we turned out to have more material than I thought we actually recorded. So there's going to be one final part of this episode on Monday. And when that drops, after that, we're going to have an interview with some folks that are going to be hosting some events at Suburbs Fest down in Knoxville, Tennessee. It is not too late to get your tickets. Go to suburbspod.com. There's a big banner right there, Suburbs Fest 2026. You can click on that, and it'll give you a list of the itinerary, where you can stay. We'd love to have you come and join us down in Knoxville at the end of July. Should be a lot of fun. Sounds like a big group is going to be there, and should be fun for all. All right, with that, we'll go out with a little more music from Jason Molina, and we'll have the final part of this interview on Monday. So if you're listening as this is released on Friday, enjoy the weekend, and we will talk to you guys next week.
No matter how dark the storm gets overhead, they say someone's watching from the calm at the edge. What about us when we're down here? We gotta watch our own backs. But if you do see that golden light, that it shines in its fiery eye, Go on and catch it while you can. Go on and catch it if you can. Let it course through you. And let it burn through you. If it's the light of truth, it's the light of truth.
That's just letting Jason come through, right?
Right.